Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Samach Hei. We begin on the second line from the top, Samach Hei Omer Aleph, where we quote the Mishnah. But the Mishnah tells us, Yotzos Kas Rishona V'chule. The Mishnah had described the process for bringing the Korban Pesach. We started the Perek yesterday, and the Mishnah went through the details of how the first group went in, did the Avoda for the Korban Pesach, they left, the second group came in, they did the Avoda, left, and the third group came in. So the third group was the smallest group, and the Braisa tells us, Tona, he nikreis kas atzlonis. The third group was known as the lazy group. They were the group of people that were late and delayed in coming in, and they were considered, quote, lazy. Rashi says, but nation is atzla lios achrona, because they came last. They should have come in the first group or the second group. Rashi says, but wait a second. B'holo sagi delav hochi. At the end of yesterday's share, we learned the mitzvah l'sholos kitos, Rashi tells us, that there was a mitzvah to have the three groups based upon the psukim that we brought down, Korban, Kohol, Eidah, and Yisrael. So how can you tell me that there is a problem with the people in the third group? They're doing what they're supposed to do. So Gemara tells us a very important idea. Gemara says, even though, my havel hum lemeved, what should they have done? Somebody had to be in the third group. The Gemara says, you don't be the one that has to be in the third group. Somebody has to be there, but it shouldn't be you. Afilu hachi, the Gemara says, iboilu lizaruze nafshayu. They should have tried to be in the first group, or at least in the second group, and not to be in the third group. Even though somebody has to be in the third group, don't let it be you. Kidatanya, if you learn in a brisa, Rebbe Omer, Yehuda Nasi, the great Rebbe, he said, Yev shel yolam, it is impossible for the world to exist below basom, without a person who deals with making beautiful smelling spices and perfumes, below borsi, and without people that are tanners. The tanners are people that deal with the tsoas klovim, the excrement of dogs. That's how they make the hides and other foul-smelling chemicals. And the Gemara in many places discusses that the people who were tanners unfortunately had a bad odor about them all the time. They had to sit in separate sections in the shul. Nobody wanted to sit in them. They had separate shuls. They were a profession that was associated with being very foul-smelling. So there were people that had a profession like a basam that were associated with being very aromatic and very nice-smelling, and there were people that are borsis, tanners, that had unfortunately had a very negative connotation attached to their odor of their body. So we need both people in the world, the Gemara says. The Rebbe tells us, Ashri mi shumnaso basam, oilo mi shumnaso barsi. It's great if you happen to be the one who involved with the nice smelling spices, and not so nice if you happen to be the one that has to deal with the tanning. The world needs both of them. You can't have a world that doesn't have tanners, but it's great if you're not the tanner. It's great if you're the perfume guy rather than the foul-smelling tanner guy. Likewise, the actual Leolim, it's impossible for the world to exist below Zuchar, below the cables. You need boys and you need girls. So girls, Nachas V'Shalom is saying here that they're less valuable or in any way lower than boys, but Ashram Yishu Banu Zucharim, Oilo Mishu Banu the cables. There are problems, especially in those days, but even nowadays, from a financial point of view, a girl was much more difficult to marry off than a boy. The girls, especially in those days, and even to a certain extent nowadays, the girls are not the income generators in the family, the boys are. So therefore, if a person has sons, he'll be more easily able to take care of them from a financial point of view than a daughter would be able to take care of her family from a financial point of view. And the Gemara elsewhere tells us that the oy lo misha bonin the kevos, woe somebody who has girls, it's because of the difficulties in marrying them off, and nothing to do with Rachmana Lutzlan, saying that they're not wonderful and valuable. Anybody has Baruch Hashem, boys and girls, knows that they're equal in value. Nobody has more of a value in life. However, from a pure financial point of view, a girl could be more difficult with shiduchim, with financial needs and ability to take care of those financial needs. So therefore, they have to be boys, have to be girls in the world. But it is easier from a financial point to have the boys than the girls. So what Yehuda Nasi is telling us is that the world needs all sorts of people. But in some situations, it's easier or more beneficial to have a certain type of profession, be a certain type of person than others. Not Chas V'Shalom saying one is more valuable. We're not saying that the tanner is less valuable than the basam. We're saying that from certain point of view, from the older point of view, it's better to be the basam than the borsi. And likewise, from the point of view of being a boy or a girl, from a financial point of view, it's easier to be the boy than it is to be the girl. Then the Mishnah says, "Kimaseo b'chol v'chule." We said that the same way that you do the avoda for the Korban Pesach on a weekday, the same exact process is done on Shabbos, with one exception, that on Shabbos, the Mishnah had said that the Kohanim plugged up the Amah, that Rivulet, that one Amma wide stream that ran through the Azara. They plugged it up so they could flood the Azara and clean it up. And this was done on a weekday. That there's no problem doing whatsoever. But they said that they did it also on Shabbos and Shelo Birtzon Chachamim. And it wasn't with the permission, so to say, of the Chachamim. So the Gemara asks, who are these Chachamim? Shelo Birtzon Man. Who are the opinion that you're saying our Mishnah doesn't accord with? So Amar Rav Chisa, Rav Chisa tells us, Shlo Birtzon Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim here is not all the Chachamim. This is the specific opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds that when you're going to wash out this area over here, you're going to be over in Issa D'Araisa. And therefore, that's why the Rabbanan didn't allow it. What's the Issa D'Araisa? We'll see in a second. The Rabbanan, because if it was the Rabbanan's opinion, Harmi Shvusu, they would say that washing the floors here is only an Issa D'Rabbanan of Ashvei Gumos, that you may come to fill in the dirt floor, and you may come to flatten it out, and that would be an Issa D'Rabbanan if you did that, and therefore, it's only a Shvus, an Issa D'Rabbanan, and we have the famous rule, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, and there are no concerns about almost all, not all, but almost all the Rabbanans in the Beis HaMikdash, because Kohanim is Rizimim, the Kohanim are very zealous in their performance of mitzvos, and they won't come to forget themselves and lead to an Issa D'Araisa. So according to the Chachamim, there is no problem with them plugging up the Amma and allowing it to flood the chamber, the Azara, even on Shabbos. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, that would be over in Issa D'Araisa. So what exactly is this machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim? Mahi. The Gemara says, the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Echad acholef, if a person milks an animal on Shabbos, or the hamechabetz, or if a person makes the milk curdle. So Rashi explains that mechabetz is mamid hacholof. You establish the milk as a curdling. V'osim minu chavitzin, shekorin matunis, that you're basically curdling the milk. So that's what mechabetz means, and this is an isser. We'll see in a moment what type of an isser. A merabetz, or if one sprinkles the dust, they used to have dust floors. They didn't have hard floors or plywood floors. They had dust floors, so they would get dusty. So I always say, like in the seventh inning stretch in a baseball game, where they go and they sprinkle the infield to make the infield less dusty. So that's what merabetz means. Or, v'harode chalos d'vash, or if you take the honeycombs, out of a beehive. So if you do any of these things on Shabbos, so the Tanna Kama says, if you do these by accident, b'shogeg, on Shabbos, b'shabbos, chayiv chatas. This is an issur d'oraisa. So if you do it unintentionally, we always like to put it in the form of unintentional rather than say you chayiv misa with hasra. So we always use the format of saying that if you do this unintentionally on Shabbos, chayiv chatas. This is the opinion, as we'll see, of Rabbi Eliezer. And likewise, he's it beyond. If you did this on Yontif, on Shabbos, this Isurim D'Araisa or a Chiv of Skila, and the Evid, it's a Chatos. If you do on Yontif, it's a Lav, it's not an Isur of Skila, it's a Lav, which again, a major Isur in the Torah, to be over a low Sase, and therefore you get Malkus if you do this. So he's it beyond. If you did these three things, the Cholev, the Mechabetz, or the Megabin, or if you were Mechabed, Merabetz, or Rode, Chalos, Dvash, if you did any of these six things, so then in this situation, a person would be Chayev on Daraisa on Shabbos, or Daraisa on Yontif, and you get the respective penalties. If you did it by accident on Shabbos, you get a Chatas. If you did it on purpose on Yontif, you would be Chayev Malkus Abon. Reason why we don't say if you do it unintentionally on Yontif, because there is no Chatas in this situation. It's not a Lab for which you're Chayev Kores, or Misa B'dei Shemayim, or Misa Spastin, so therefore, we don't give a Chatas for just being over a low Sase like that. That is the opinion Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So here you see that he holds that Merabetz, which is the Av Melacha over here of opening up the stream, the Amma, and plugging it up so it can overflow and flood the Azara, that would be according to Rabbi Eliezer and Issa D'Araisa. The Chachamim disagree. In both situations, whether you did the first group of three or the second group of three, they are not Yisroim D'Araisa, they're only Yisroim D'Rabbanon, and whether you do them on Shabbos or whether you did them on Yontif, Eino El Mishum Shvus, they're only Yisroim D'Rabbanon. So here you see, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that says, Shalom B'Ratzon Aman, it's not Shalom B'Ratzon Chachamim, it's Shalom B'Ratzon Rabbi Eliezer. That's Teretz number one. Along comes Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, no, we could even say this is L'Kuli Amma. You don't have to lock this in to say our Mishnah is only like a Das Yochid, Rabbi Eliezer. Afilu Tema Shalom B'Ratzon Chachamim is the Chachamim themselves. It doesn't have to be just limited to Rabbi Eliezer. And based upon the Rabbi Nosson, this is based upon what Rabbi Nosson taught us. Rabbi Nosson taught us the following. Rabbi Nosson, Amar, Shavuos Tzricha hitiru. Shavuos she'ein tzricha lo hitiru. When do we say that ain't shavuos b'mikdash? That's something when it's an essential shavuos, when you must do it in order to be able to do the mitzvah. But we don't just say, hey, you can do whatever you want in the Beis HaMikdash, that's a din d'rabbanan, because ain't shavuos b'mikdash. No, it's only if the shavuos is essential, if it's necessary to do this activity in order to be able to do the mitzvah that you have to do, so then in that situation, we allow the shavuos to be pushed aside. But if it's not an essential shavuos, you can perfectly do the avodah without doing the shavuos, so then there is shavuos b'mikdash as well. As Rashi points out, li'olam rabbanon, the amre, the alma, they say in general, nami shavuos hu, they do hold from shavuos b'mikdash, and it's only according to Rabbi Nassan, who says, a shavuos she'ein otzricha, lo hitiru b'mikdash, and therefore, it wasn't necessary to do this, rinsing out of the azara, do it after Shabbos is over, and therefore, even the chachamim, it wasn't within their realm of saying that it's allowed, and therefore, the Mishnah, where it says Shalom Baratzel Chacham, goes according to the Chacham, not only according to Rabbi Eliezer. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosya Memale Vichule. So here we're talking about the at the end, after they flooded the area, so they would take a kos, a kli shares, dip it into the mixture of blood and water that was there, and take that kos, Rabbi Yehuda says, and do one zrika onto the yisod of the Mizbeach. So why is that? So I explained it when we did the mission. Now we'll see the explanation here a little bit more expanded upon in the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is the same Rabbi Yehuda, this is our Mishnah. Kosoya Mamale Midamatarovis. He took a cup that was with all the different bloods that they had on the floor of the Azara, and he would go and take a single kos in a kli shares, dip it into this mixture of all the bloods on the floor, and then do zrika onto the yisod of the Mizbeach. And he said, Shimi Shofek Domo She'echabihem. He said, just in case one of the carbonates Pesach by accident did not have Zrika done on the Mizbeach, this will accomplish that. Nimso Zemach Shiro. So even though we didn't do it at the right time, so to say, and the right place, beforehand when they did the Kabbalah, somehow this Kabbalah, it spilled onto the floor. And now we want to, so to say, make up for doing it. It wasn't done. So this will fulfill that obligation of every Korban Pesach having Zrika on the Yisod of the Mizbeach. Nimtzu Zemach Shiro. In this way, someone after the fact, B'diavad, will have accomplished what we need to do. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. Amalu Chacham Rabbi Yehuda. The Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, Valo lo niskabel b'kli. But it didn't have a Kabbalah. Aren't you dealing here with nobody did a Kabbalah on it, and it just came out of the animal's neck onto the floor? Isn't that the scenario that you're talking about? And therefore, it's no good. If you don't have a Kabbalah, you don't have Zrika. So that's what the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said, how do you know that? Mino yade. Why are you suggesting that it didn't have Kabbalah? Maybe it did have Kabbalah, and then it just spilled out. Mino yade. Why are you saying that it didn't have Kabbalah? So he says, you're right. Elohochi karmelei. This is what the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda. Shema lo niskabel b'chli. You're right, we don't know for certain that it wasn't, but maybe it didn't have a Kabbalah in the Kli, and it won't do you any good to go do the Zrika now on the Mizbeach. So no, that's the kasha that the Chacham is asking Rabbi Yehuda. What does he respond to them? So Rabbi Yehuda responds back to the Chacham, and he says, Afanilo amarti ela viniskabel b'chli. You're right, I agree with you. If it didn't get Kabbalah in the Kli, so then my doing this will have no benefit whatsoever. But maybe it did have Kabbalah in the Kli, and it spilled out on the floor without having the Zrika, and this way it will be accomplished doing the Zrika now b'di'evit. Gemara says, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that? Mino yada. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that it did have Kabbalah? So Gemara says, Kohanim's reason him. He's saying that Mistama, since the Kohanim are so zealous in their performance of mitzvos, Mistama, they did do a Kabbalah, and only afterwards somehow it didn't have the halacha and the zrika onto the yisod, but since it did have a Kabbalah, so do it now, and at least you'll get b'di'evet the zrika now. Gemara says, wait a second. If you're telling me, can't have it both ways. If you're telling me, Kohanim is reason heim, so then is reason, if they're so zoris in doing their avoda, so how can you tell me that they did the Kabbalah, but they didn't do the halach and the zrika? Am I mishtapich? So how did they not do the zrika then? How did it spill out without doing the zrika? So who the answer is, no, agav zrizu sayu, because they're so diligent, they're so in such a zoris mode that they're so careful to go and do and rush to do everything. So they're rushing, that's what caused them to spill it, dav de mishtapich, because they're in such a rush to go and do this, their zrizus is causing them, guaranteed that they'll do the Kabbalah, but it's also a possibility because they're rushing so much to do the mitzvah that it spills out, and they thought they did a zrika, and there was nothing in the kos, and it spilled out. Sumar says, so okay, let's assume that Rabbi Yehuda is right in that sense, that they did have a Kabbalah, it didn't have a zrika, and now he's picking it up from the floor, and that will satisfy the requirement of zrika. So Gemara says, Alo dam hatamtzis ma'orubo. Wait a second. There's a ton of blood on the floor here. Not just the blood that was the lifeblood of the animal that came out at the beginning of the Shechita, but after the animal Nebuch is killed from the Shechita, so then there's blood constantly oozing out, there's blood constantly coming out. This is called Dam Hatamtzis. This is not the lifeblood, this is not the Dam Hua Nefesh, but this is Dam Tamtzis. This is blood that comes out afterwards. And Dam Tamtzis is not good to do the Zrika. So you're going to have an overwhelming amount of Dam Tamtzis here that's going to be Mevatel, the Dam Hanefesh. So how can you say that this accomplishes anything? Shmuel says, no, that's not a problem. Rav Yehuda l'tamei. Rav Yehuda holds that the Dam HaTamtzis is good for the Zrika. The Amar, Dam HaTamtzis, Dam Ayu. He holds that Dam HaTamtzis is real blood. All the Yisurim of Dam HaNefesh apply to Dam HaTamtzis. Where is that? The Tanya. Because we're learning in a Braisa. Dam HaTamtzis v'Azorah. The drinking of regular blood, of Chulin here, or of Karchim, only, quote, has a lav. Rashi explains by Asar, belav, below the chorus. Because the pasuk says of Siv, ki nefesh, it says, kol botsar domo benafsho, who. So therefore, Rashi explains that yotzar dam hatamtzis she'enu dam hanefesh. So therefore, it's not an issur of chorus to drink such dam hatamtzis. And in Maseches Krisus, Rashi says, beforeish taima, it goes through the reasons over there, that the chamisha lavim siv bedam. So one of them is to teach us this is only a lav by drinking the Dam HaTamtzis, but the Dam HaNefesh, that would be Karis. So this is the opinion of the Tanakhama. And along comes Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, be Karis. He says Dam HaTamtzis also is Karis. Oh, so here you see Rabbi Yehuda L'taymei, the Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Dam HaTamtzis is equivalent to the Dam HaNefesh, and therefore let us suggest that Rabbi Yehuda says that when you pick up the blood, it's even though it's Ma'uriv with Dam HaTamtzis, no problem. The Dam HaTamtzis is also Dam of Karis, and therefore we're suggesting that you can also do the Zrika with the Dam HaTamtzis according to Rabbi Yehuda. Mor says, but that's not true. Even if you want to say that Rav Yehuda holds that the Dam HaTamtzis is Chiyuv of Kares, that doesn't make it good for Zrika. Baba Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says that even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that it's an Isser of Kares for the Dam HaTamtzis, Modi Rabbi Yehuda, Linyan Kapara, Sheno Makaper, he says that the Dam HaTamtzis can't be used for the Zrika. The Zrika is what brings about the Kapara when you do the blood applications of the carbon. That's what brings about the Kapara. So even Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Elazar, even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Dam HaTamtzis is a Chiyuv of Kares, agrees that you can't do the Zrika, however, with the Dam HaTamtzis. It's not Makaper, because the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Ki Hadom Hu Banefesh. It's only Dam HaNefesh that's Mechaper. We turn to Samachay Omid Beis, that Dam HaNefesh Yotzo Bo Mechaper. The Dam HaNefesh, that is what you can be Mechaper with. But Dam Tamtzis, Dam She'en HaNefesh Yotzo Bo, the life of the animal doesn't come out with the Dam HaTamtzis. It's already out, so to say, the animal's already dead. So the rest of the blood that seeps out, Ein HaMechaper, you can't use that to go and bring about the Kapara. Therefore, the Kasha returns on Rav Yehuda. How can you say that dipping a klisharis into the taruvis of blood on the floor of the Azara is going to help you at all? Even though you hold that the Dam HaTamtzis is chiv of kares if you are to drink it, but it's not good, even according to your Yehuda, to do the Zrika. So you're going to have the majority over here of the blood, it's going to be Dam HaTamtzis, and it's going to be Ma'ariv within it, a little bit of Dam HaNefesh, but the majority, Dam HaTamtzis, should be Mevatel, the minimal amount of Dam HaNefesh. So even according to your Yehuda, what good does it do to dip a klisharis into this dam tarovis, this mixture of blood on the floor of the Azara, and hope that you're going to be accomplishing doing Zrika on a carbon Pesach that somehow had Kabbalah and didn't have Zrika? That's Gemara's question. Gemara says, no. Elo, Rabbi Yehuda l'taymeis. I explained when we learned the Mishnah, here's the maskon of the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda also holds that dam is not mevatel dam. A min is not mevatel mino. So the Omar ain't dam mevatel dam. So therefore, even though you have a very small amount of Dam HaNefesh from every carbon in this huge taruvis of blood on the floor of the Azara, it will have several particles of Dam from every carbon in it. So therefore, when you pick this up, those particles from any carbon, and maybe that carbon had Kabbalah but didn't have Zrika, will be in this cup, and therefore, b'dieved, when you do the Zrika now onto the Yesod of the Mizbeach, you have ultimately fulfilled doing Zrika on every carbon Pesach. That's Rav Yehuda l'shitase, Rav Yehuda l'taymei. Now the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn another braisa, Amalem Rav Yehuda l'chachamim. Yehuda says to the chachamim, according to you, l'divreichem, that there's no point in collecting the blood from the floor, because you say that the dam is mevatel the dam, so the dam of tamsis is overwhelmingly larger than the dam of the nefesh from the korban that had kabbalah but didn't have zrika. So according to you, there's no point in doing so. So then, but you also agree that they were poking as azara, lama poking as azara. So then, why do they do this if it doesn't serve any purpose? I understand why they did this, because you want to go and collect the blood from the floor. So this is a way to merge all the bloods on the floor. But if you're not going to go and do this, so then why were you poking this azar? Why do you stuff up, plug up the ama and let it flood? So Amrulo. So the Chacham said, no, even though we don't say like you that we want to go and put a klisharis into that dam tarovis and do the zrika, there's still a benefit in plugging up the ama and allowing the entire azara to become filled with water and blood. This is a great splendor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the children of Aaron, for the Kohanim, sheyelchu ad akuvoseihem bedam, that they should walk around in the Azara with all of the blood from all of the korbanos. They should go up to their knees. That's how much blood and water there is over here. This is a great testament to Klal Yisrael, and it's a great shevach for the Kohanim that they did this wonderful avoda on Erev Pesach. Where it says, there's some technical problems over here. V'ha, if you do this, kochayitz, you have a chatzitza now between the feet of the Kohanim and the floor. And we've learned in many places that Kohanim walked barefoot. They couldn't have anything between their feet and the floor. When they did the avoda, they couldn't stand on another Kohen's foot. They couldn't stand on their left foot. They had to stand with their feet directly on the floor. Now, if you have all this blood and water there, they're not standing directly on the floor. So therefore, it's a chatzitza. So how could this work? Shmuel says, no, it's not a chatzitza. It's liquid. When you're standing in liquid, your feet are on the floor. Lachu v'enuchotze. So this mixture of blood and water is a liquid. And therefore, even though they're standing in water, but they're really standing on the floor, their foot is touching the floor. The blood and the water, so to say, is pushed aside by the feet touching the floor. And I'll show you that this is true, Kidatanya, because we learned in a braisa, Eruvin, the Gemara there said specifically that if you're dealing with things that are moist, things that are liquid, hadam, blood, vadio, if you're dealing with ink, the cholov, if you're dealing with milk, and dvash, or you're dealing with honey, when they're in their liquid state, they're not chotzeitz. Only yuveshim, if they're dried and congealed, then they can be a chatzitza, but lachim, if they're in their liquid state, ain't chotzeitz. So therefore, there is no problem with chatzitza, with the blood coming up to the knees of the kohanim. Mor says, but there's another problem. V'ho, kamitvuse manayu, it's going to make their clothing dirty. Rashi says, mislachlichin bedam, their garments, the pants, the michnasayim that the Kohanim are going to wear, are going to get all stained and dirty with the blood that they're now coming into contact with. And that's a problem. Now, the gifts that we have is a tnan, but on the side, it says that this is really a braisa in Svachim, and it should be the hotanya. It says in the braisa, hayu bigodov mitushtoshin, if a Kohen had garments that were mitushtoshin, in other words, they're dirty, they're with bloody, for avad, and he does the avoda, that avoda is pasul, avodosa psula, because the Kohanim have to have clean garments when they're doing the avoda. So here, if the Kohanim are walking through this blood-filled, water-filled azara, so the bottom of the mechnasayim are going to get all dirty. So how can they do the avoda? Are you going to tell me, v'chitema, demadlu luhulu manayu? So they lifted up their pants, so they're walking around with their pants raised above their knees, and therefore the blood only goes up to their knees, and the pants are raised above their knees. You're not allowed to do that. For Tanya, we have a pasuk that says, Mido vad, umichse vad yubash al basarau. So it has to be Mido vad. Rashi says, Velavash hakohen Mido vad. It has to be kimidoso shovel oritz. It has to go down to the ground. It has to go to the floor of the ground. It means it has to go all the way down to the bottom of your foot. You cannot go and have too short pants. So if you pull up the pants, it's no different than if they were too short. Each Kohen has to wear appropriately fitting pants. That's what it means, mido bad. It has to fit him perfectly. Mido kimidoso. It has to be to the right height of each Kohen. So a 6-foot Kohen has pants of a certain size. A 5-foot Kohen has pants of a certain size. It has to fit him perfectly. So if you bring it up, shalo yachsar v'lo yosir, it's going to be chaser. It's going to be too short. You're not allowed to have it too short. You're not allowed to have it too long. So therefore, again, we return to the problem. If the Kohanim are lifting up their pants so the pants shouldn't get dirty, and this way the avoda isn't possible, so how can they lift up their pants? The avoda won't be good. It's going to be a problem of shalo yatsav lo yosir. It's not going to be mido vad, mido kimidoso. Shmuel says, you're right. They didn't walk around in the blood when they were doing the avodah. Beholachas evarin lekevish. They only were walking through the blood, and this was the shavachu lebnei Aaron, when they were bringing the evarim from a korban ola. All the evarim were brought up in the zbeach, or the emurim from the other korbanos, when they were bringing the evarim and the emurim up onto the kevish of the mizbeach. That isn't considered an avodah. So there, they pulled up their pants, and there was no problem getting their pants dirty. The lav avodah he. And therefore, that's what they did at that point in time. More questions is, that's not an avodah, the law? V'ha, midabai kahuna. If a czar were to do this, it would be a real problem. So therefore, it must be done by a kohen. If it must be done by a kohen, by definition, avodah he. And I'll show you that this is right. The tani, because we're in the b'raisa, v'ikriva kohen esa kol ha-mizbecha. It says that the kohen show Bedavka, a Kohen, be makdir everything on the Mizbeach. And therefore, how can you tell me that this is not an Avodah? This is referring in the Braisa, Zu Holochas Evorim LaKevish. This is the bringing of the Evorim and the Emurim up onto the Kevish, up onto the ramp of the Mizbeach. So therefore, this is definitely an Avodah. Problem again, if the Kohen lifts up his pants, he's going to not be wearing Midobat. So the Gemara says, you're right. It's not talking about the bringing of the Evarim and the Emurim to the Mizbeach. You know what it's talking about? They rolled up their pants only. It's only when they went to put wood onto the fire. The top of the Mizbeach had all the time either 3 or 4 or 5 pyres. So they needed to feed the fire. So when they brought up the Eitzim onto the Marocha, that is when they rolled up their pants. The lo, the lav, avodahi. That is not considered an avodah. Gemara says, no. Bolochas Evarim lekevish, bolochas dam, mia. Hey, but okay, so great. So when they did this, there wasn't a problem. But how did they walk through the blood? The Azara filled with blood and water. So you're right. Okay, so the Eitzim wasn't a problem. But they still had to bring the Evarim, the Emurim, onto the Kevish. So how did they do that? Hey, Chiyosli, how could they do this without getting their garments dirty? They get their garments dirty, so then they're not allowed to do the Avodah. If they do the Avodah in that fashion, either they rolled up their pants, it's possible because of that, or if they're bloodied, so then it's possible because of that. So the Gemara says, no, there's one other way to do this. The Gemara says, the miske aitztabe, that they walked on platforms. Rashi explains, aitztabos shel bebinyan hayusham varein kiritzpa. They had some sort of elevated area, like platforms, which are considered the ritzpa because they were permanently attached to the ground. So you've elevated the ground in certain places. So it's like they're walking on platforms which are above the blood, and therefore they don't get their clothing dirty. They can wear their clothing the regular size, midobot, it can fit to the bottom of their feet, and therefore their pants are fine, they're clean, the avodah is good, and the blood around them is below the platforms on the rest of the floor of the Azara, and therefore in this situation it's Shavahu Levnei Aaron, and we accomplish everything according to the Chacham, even though they don't hold like Rav Yehuda that you go dip a Kli Sharis into this and do Zrika onto the Mizbeach. Then the Mishnah is quoted and it said, Ketzat tolun umafshitin v'chule. How do you go and hang the Korban Pesach and go and flay the Korban Pesach? So we said that on Shabbos, you did it in a certain way because of the potential of muktzah, that you had to be metaltel. Rashash changed around Rashi's girsa from Lasakin to be metaltel. And they would then go and take out the innards, the sacrificial fats. They would rip it open, karo, potziu semur, they take out the sacrificial fats. And Nosnom Bimagis, they would go put it in this container, this Ka'ara, we had said, this Magis, and then they would go, and now the Girsa that we have is Lehak Tiram, but if you look in the Gilyan Hashas over here, Rabbi Kiva Eger, he brings down, it should say over here, Vihik Tiram, because otherwise the Gemara doesn't make any sense in the question that the Gemara is going to ask. So therefore, the person who put it into this Magis, he would go and be makdir it. Now, the Gemara says, the person who did the flaying over here, this was definitely not an avoda, and the Kohanim were very busy doing all the avodas that were required. So, like we pointed out from the Sfas Emes, that he said that they would bedavka have a Yisrael do the Shechita, they would bedavka try to have Yisrael do anything that wasn't an avoda. So the flaying of the Korban Pesach, that could be done by a regular Yisrael. So therefore, Mestama, it was a regular Yisrael who did the Kriya, he ripped open the belly of the animal, and he took out the sacrificial fats, and then it says he put him in the Magis, and then it says Vihiktira. That's why the Girs of the Rabbi Kiva Eger, of the Gilyan Hashas, is that he did it, Vihiktira, and so the Yisrael did it. So Gemara says, Atuhu Gufe, have the Makatale? Did the Yisrael go and put it up on the Mizbeach? Of course he's not allowed to do that. The Torah has to be done by a Kohen. That's certainly an essential avoda. So Gemara says, you're right. The Girs is wrong, Ema, instead say, Lehaktirun agabi emizbeach. He would go place it into the Ka'ara, and then the Kohen would go and do the actual Haktorah onto the Mizbeach. Finally, we conclude by quoting the last part of the Mishnah, Yotzu Kas Vishon V'chule, we said on Shabbos that they couldn't travel with their Karban Pesach back to their homes. They couldn't roast it on Shabbos, so they would stay up on top of the Harabayas. The first Kas, they went out from the Azara, because the second Kas needed to come into the Azara, so they went on to a certain part of the Harabayas. The second Kas went on to another part of the Harabayas, and the third Kas stayed inside the Azara, either in the Ezras Anoshim or the Ezras Noshim. We had a discussion about that. Now the Brisa says, Tana, Kol Echav Yechad Nosin Pischo Bi'oro U'mavshul Yechorv. After Shabbos was over, everybody would go gather their Korban Pesach. They would carry it, so to say, in the hide of the Korban Pesach. The hide wasn't, of course, put up on the Mizbeach. Only the sacrificial fats were. So they had flayed the animal, but then they gathered the Korban Pesach. They put it into the hide of the animal, into the skin of the animal, and each person would sling it over his shoulder, like Dennis the Menace. For those that remember that cartoon, that he would sling his, when he would leave the house, he would sling with a stick his package over his shoulder. So they would carry the Korban Pesach in the skin of the animal, slung over their shoulders. Rav Ilish, Rav Ilish says he was the name of Tabu Chacham, Shem Chacham. So Rav Ilish said, like Tayos, like Arabs used to do this, Derech Sochrim Yishmaelim Huzeh. This was the way the Arab merchants would go and bring their wares to whoever they were selling them. So too, this was the way the Klai Yisrael, they brought the Korban Pesach, when it was Erev Pesach Cholios B'Shabbos, so then after Shabbos, they would carry the Korban Pesach back to their houses. They would do it in this fashion. With this, we conclude Perek Tomid Nishchat, Hadron Lecha Tomid Nishchat, Hadron Lecha Tomid Nishchat, Hadron Lecha Tomid Nishchat. And now we begin the beautiful sixth Perek of Psochem, Elu Dvorim. The Mishnah begins and says, Elu Dvorim bePesach Dochid Shabbos. Now, we know that time-dependent mitzvos are Dochid Shabbos. So if something is required to be done on Shabbos, like the Korban Tamid, so then it's Docha Shabbos, even though you're not allowed to shecht for yourself on Shabbos, but you're all allowed to shecht for the Mizbeach, things that are time-dependent. You can't bring a voluntary Shlomim, you can't bring voluntary Olos, but you can bring anything like the Korban Tamid of Shacharis and the Bein Arbayim, or the Korban Musaf of Shabbos. Any obligatory Korban is allowed to be brought on Shabbos. Now, the Korban Pesach is an obligatory Korban. It must be brought at a certain time. You have to bring on your Dalet in the afternoon. You can't say, well, Shabbos, we'll bring it on your Gimel, we'll bring it on Tezvah. You must bring on your Dalet in the afternoon. So therefore, there are certain aspects of the Korban Pesach. When you have Erev Pesach, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, when your Dalet is on Shabbos, like it will be in Mitzvah Shem this year. And hopefully all of these dinim should be not just theoretical dinim, L'Hagdol Torah V'Ladira that we're learning them, but they should be all practical dinim that we're going to apply this year, B'ezus Hashem, in the Beis HaMikdash HaBinuyah. So, Eilu Dvarim B'Pesach, the following things regarding the Korban Pesach, are going to push aside Shabbos, Dochenes HaShabbos. So, what are these? So, Shchita, so the Shechtei the Korban Pesach. You can't Shecht the Korban Pesach except on your Dalet in the afternoon. So, if your Dalet in the afternoon is Shabbos, so the Shchita, which should normally be an Issa Daraisa, an Ab Malach on Shabbos, so you're allowed to go and do the Shchita. Likewise, Uzrikas Domo, the pouring of the blood onto the Mizbeach, the throwing of the blood onto the Mizbeach, is also allowed. Now, this is a very big discussion amongst the Rishonim and Achronim as to what exactly is wrong with doing Zrik on Shabbos. So there is a position that says, no, there is absolutely nothing wrong with doing Zrik on Shabbos. And that's the opinion, for example, of Tosos here, who says, Zrikaso Domo Tano Agav Shritaso. Technically, there was no reason to write down Zrik here because there's no Isser involved. What's the Isser in pouring some blood, throwing some blood onto the Yisrael of Mizbeach? There's no Isser involved. And therefore, the only reason we mention the Zrika is since we're telling us that you do the Shchita, so it tells us you also do the Zrika. So the Shchita, that you have to tell me for certain. And the Zrika is thrown in as an aside that, by the way, you also do the Zrika, even though there is no problem in doing the Zrika. That's Tosus' understanding. There are other Rishonim, however, that say no, that the Zrika would be an Issur d'Rabbanan. And since this is a shvus in the Mikdash that's essential, so the Mishnah has to tell us that this Zrika's Domo, even though it's only an Issur d'Rabbanan, one might have thought that you shouldn't do this over here because it may not be essential, do it afterwards. No, it must be done on your Dalet in the afternoon, and therefore the Zrika also is Docha Shabbos. Then it tells us, Umichui Karovov, the pushing out of the excrement that's inside the intestines, that's Michui Karovov, so you don't want the animal to stink. And if you were to go and not get rid of all the large portions of excrement inside the intestines, so the animal would go and become very, very foul smelling, and therefore nobody would want to eat the Korban Pesach. And we want the Korban Pesach to be eaten with tremendous desire, so therefore they're allowed to do the Michli Krovov on Shabbos. Tosus asks from the Ri, so why don't we also tell us that Hefshet Oro is Doche Doche Shabbos? Because we have later on in the Perek, and Daf Samach Dalet is going to tell us that Erev Pesach Chol Yosi Shabbos, that you're allowed to go and do this. V'tolu Mavshet. So how come it doesn't mention that in our Mishnah as well? So he brings down Vatir Tzvi, Mishum Dehavi Bechlal Hektuch Halovov, Shenu Yochol LaHavshit El Adachoze. So he says some technical details that you're only allowed to do the Hefshit until a certain point in time, and this is included in the next part of Haktoras Halovov, which is the next part of the Mishnah, so that includes over here the Hefshit as well. Because you can't do the Haktoras Halovov without doing the Hefshit, so it's obvious that you can do the Hefshit up to a certain point, and that also is why it doesn't have to tell me that specifically, by Michui Krava. So these four things, the Shrita, the Zrika, the Michui, and the Haktara, are all allowed to be done Erev Pesach Chol Yosi Shabbos. You can do them on Shabbos. You don't have any choice. You must do it on that time. And therefore, as the Pasuk says, Biyom Tzavoso, you have to go and do it on the day that you're commanded to do so, and therefore they're allowed. However, the Mishnah says, Avot Sliyoso, but the roasting in a Korban Pesach, there's no mitzvah to roast it on your dalet. No, they normally did roast it on a weekday, your dalet, so they normally roasted it then, so it's ready to go. You want to start the Seder right away. But here, because it's Shabbos, so you'll start the Seder a half an hour later. You'll roast it right after Shabbos is over. So it's Sliyoso, Vahadochas Kerovov, and the rinsing out of the Kerbayim, of the various intestines. Rashi points out that this doesn't have so much perish in it. You did the Michli Kerovov, so you got rid of most of the excrement inside the intestines, but the Hadochas Krovov, which is just the additional rinsing out, so that's not going to make the animal stink, that's not going to make the animal smell if you don't do this. So that, Rashi says, you can do that after it gets dark. So don't do this on Shabbos, it won't be ruined, the little bit that's left inside, you want to get rid of it, so you get rid of it Matzei Shabbos, and that's not a problem. So the roasting and Hadochas Krovov, that is done after Shabbos. Now, what about bringing the Korban Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash? Harkov also, carrying the Korban Pesach from your house in Yerushalayim to the Beis HaMikdash, or Vavavaso Michutz L'Tchum, or it was outside the Tchum, and carrying it outside the Tchum, so these Isurim, both of them are only an Isur D'Oraisa, because even if you're telling me that the carrying was through Rishus HaRabim, but we have the opinion, Chai Nosi Etzatzmo, so the live Korban Pesach is only going to be an Isur D'Rabbanan, even to carry it through an area of Rishus HaRabim. And likewise, Tchum, according to most Poskim, is only an Isur D'Rabbanan. So in these situations, these two things, the Har Kavaso, the carrying of the Korban Pesach into the Azara, and bringing it from outside the Tchum, and as well, cutting off any warts that are on the behemoth that would be not allowed to be brought as a carbon, v'chatichas yibalto, Rashi explains, these are certain warts, v'chotcho b'tziparnov o b'shidov, you'd be allowed to go and remove them with your fingernails or with your teeth, and that's only a shvus, that's not an issur d'oraisa, that's only a midrabanan, because you're doing it kalach or yad, you're not doing it the normal way. So all of these things, which you normally would be allowed to do on a weekday, ain't dochenes a Shabbos. These don't push aside the Shabbos. You should have done that before Shabbos. The warts didn't grow on Shabbos, that they're now suddenly there. You had the option of bringing the animal from beyond the Tchum before Shabbos. You had the animal bring option to bring the animal to the Azara on Shabbos. So therefore, in this situation, you're not allowed to do these things because Efshur Lasosam, you could have done them before Shabbos. So some things that you could have done before Shabbos, you're not allowed to do them on Shabbos. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama, the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Dochen. Even these things are Doche as well. These are called Machshirei Mitzvah, and they're Doche. There's a similar idea. The Rebbe Lezer, the Mila, in the Perek in Shabbos, which deals with all the halachas of Bris Mila, so Rebbe Lezer says all the Machshirei Mila you're allowed to do, even on Shabbos. So to over here, he says all of these things, the Har Kavaso, bringing it from outside the Tchum, the Chatichas Yabalto, all of these things are allowed to be done even on Shabbos. Rebbe Lezer explains why. Amar Rebbe Lezer, Valodinu, it's a Kav HaChomer. Ma'im Shchita, which is an Issa D'Oraisa, Shi Mishum Melacha, is a real Issa D'Oraisa. Torah allows us to do that, Dochas HaShabbos. So certainly, Elu, these things, they're only an Issa D'Rabbanan, Shem Shavus, they're only an Issa Mishum Shavus, so Lo Yidchu Es HaShabbos, Rashi says Loshem Bismia, they shouldn't be able to be done on Shabbos. If you can do an Issa D'Rais on Shabbos, so certainly you should be able to do these Issurim D'Rabbanan on Shabbos for the Korban Pesach. That's what Rabbi Lezer holds. Rabbi Yeshua is famous Bar Plukta throughout Shas. Rabbi Shuman Chananya tells us, Amar Yeshua, no, I'll prove to you that you're incorrect, because Yom Tov Mochiach, Yochiach, Yom Tov will show that your Svara over here, your logic, your Kavachom is incorrect. Why? On Yom Tov, Sheitiru Bo Mishum Melacha. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to do Shchita, even though it's a malacha, because of ochel nefesh. So, hitiru bo mishum malacha, on yontif, you can go do shechita, nevertheless, v'yasa bo mishum shavus, but you're not allowed to do all the durabanans that would be necessary if you wanted to go and bring an animal from outside the tchum. You wouldn't be allowed to do that on yontif. So therefore, even though the shechita is going to be docha yontif, but the bringing from outside the tchum is not docha yontif. So how can you tell me that you're allowed to do this? As Rashi points out, shechita ubishul shuav malacha umutarim lehedjo, you're allowed to do this on yontif. However, va'asu bolavi dava michutz l'tchum v'lechol. But you're not allowed to go bring food from outside the tchum and eat it on yontif, even though there's a din of ochel nefesh, but the surim of shechita and bishul override yontif, but not the iso bring from outside the tchum. Why? Ho'ol v'havo efshalom. Yes, well, you should have brought it yesterday. You can't shech the animal yesterday because you want fresh meat, but you could have brought the animal from yesterday. And even though tchum means the rabbanon, even though you're only over a shvus, nevertheless, Rabbi Shua says yontif is mochiach, that even on yontif you're allowed to do certain isurim deraisa because the efshar, but you're not allowed to do the rabbanons that are efshar. You could have done them beforehand. So too over here, Rabbi Shua says to Rabbi Eliezer, all of these things, the arkavoso, the bringing from outside the tchum, the chatichas yavalto, could have been done before Shabbos, and they're not docha Shabbos. That's what Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says back to him, "Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Mazi Yeshua, what in the world are you talking about? Ma raya, what are you raya? You're bringing me Rishus LeMitzvah. Is there a mitzvah to have this meat that you're talking about on Yontif? No, you're allowed to. You're allowed to shecht. You're allowed to have ochel nefesh, but it's not a mitzvah, and therefore you don't have the right to be over a derabbanan because you're not doing a mitzvah. But I'm talking about a mitzvah. The Karban Pesach is a mitzvah. So therefore, how can you bring me a raya from a rishus to what I'm saying is a mitzvah?" On this, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya doesn't respond, but Rabbi Akiva responds. Rabbi Akiva is a star pupil of both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So he says, "Heish Rabbi Akiva Yomer." Rabbi Akiva says, "I can speak up and give you an answer. Hazor tochiach. I'll prove to you from the fact that we do not allow you to do the hazor on Erev Pesach for a person that is Tomei Meis, and he needs to have the hazor of the Paraduma on Shlishi Ushvi, on the third and the seventh day. So if he doesn't have the hazor done on the seventh day, he won't be able to eat the Korban Pesach, and nevertheless, we say that you're not allowed to do the hazor. Heshev Rabbi Kibbe Omar, hazor tochiach, shehi misho mitzvah." Now, the purpose of doing the hazor on the seventh day, Erev Pesach, is to allow the person to become tar, to eat the Korban Pesach that night. So on a weekday, we allow you to do this. However, if it's Erev Pesach, Chol Yosmi Shabbos, we do not allow you to do the hazor on the seventh day. We don't do the hazor on Shabbos, Shehim Yishum Mitzvah, even though, in order for him to eat the Korban Pesach, he has to become tar, but we don't allow him to become tar in this fashion. So here, it's a mitzvah, and nevertheless, the shvus of the hazor, we don't allow him to transgress. V'hi mishum shvus. So here's a clear raya, that even though it's a mitzvah, we don't allow it to go and push aside the Shabbos. V'ein no doches haShabbos. So therefore, af atah, al tisma leilu. Therefore, don't be surprised. Just like we don't let you do the hazor, we don't let you do the havoras, mark harkovaso, or bringing it from outside the tchum, or the cutting off of the yabeles. We don't allow them as well. Sh'afo pishei mishum mitzvah. Even though you want to be able to do the mitzvah, bring the Korban Pesach, but these things were efshar lasos from before Shabbos, v'hei mishum shvus, lo yitchu es haShabbos, so we don't let them go and push aside the Shabbos. That's what Rabbi Akiva said, just like the Hazar, so too, these harkovoso and the havara of the animal from outside the tchum, or the chatichas yabilto, we don't allow them to be done. That's what Rabbi Akiva tells his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Eliezer responds to Rabbi Akiva and says, "V'olei ani don, no, I'll come right back at you." You know why? Because umayim shchita, the shchita, which is docha the Shabbos, of course, umayim shchita shehim yishum melacha, which is an itzah daraisa, is docha the Shabbos. So hazah, which is only shehim yishum shvus, what is the itzah of sprinkling the paraduma on the person? It's only a derabban of mesakin, of fixing something. It looks like it's Masakin Mana. It looks like you're fixing something, so that's an Issa Durabana. It looks like you're fixing the person. He wasn't eligible, now he is eligible, so it's only an Issa of Masakin Mana, which is an Issa Durabana. Shehim Yishum Shvus, so Eino Docha, Eino Din Shedocha is a Shabbos, so certainly if the Issa Duraisa of Shchita is Docha Shabbos, so certainly the Issa Durabana of Hazar should be Docha Shabbos. So I disagree with you, Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Akiva. You can do the Hazar. We turn to Samach Vav Amud Aleph. How does Rabbi Akiva respond? So I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says to him, "No, maybe the opposite. Ochilov. You know what? Just like Uma im Hazor, You know what, Taka? The Hazar is not Doche Shabbos, so therefore, if that's only an Issur Darabanan, it's not Doche Shabbos. Allah has Kama V'Kama, Shchita, which is Shim Yishum Melach, which is an Issur Daraisa, Eino Dinsh Lo Titchitz Shabbos, which should be Kama V'Kama the other way. Just like the Hazar is not going to be able to go and be done because it's a Shavuos, and it's also to do with Midr Rabbanan and Shabbos, so certainly the Issur Shchita shouldn't be able to be overridden by allowing you to do the Shchita for the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. So that's the challenge that Rabbi Akiva gave to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer looks at him in astonishment. No, Rabbi Eliezer, Akiva, he called him astonishment. Rabbi Akiva, he called him Akiva. A character, Mashkos of the Torah. You're uprooting that which is written in the Torah. The Torah says specifically, b'moado, and you must do the Korban Pesach at its appropriate time, which is your dal in the afternoon. And this is true of Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos. So of course the Shechit is Doche Shabbos. How can you suggest that if the Hazar is not Doche Shabbos, so then the Shechit is also not Doche Shabbos? You forgot a pasuk in the Torah? So Amaloha, Rabbi Kiva says, that's the punchline. He says, Rabbi, Hove li moed le'elu, kimoed l'shechita. If you can show me where it says in the pasuk, b'moado, in regards to the Hazar, if you can show me in the pasuk where it says, harkavoso, and the bringing from outside the tchum, haloso, and the chatichas yabelto, if you can show me where it says that, b'moado, in the pasuk, like it says by the shechita, so then I would agree with you. But Rebbe, it doesn't say those, and therefore, things that are efshar beforehand, they're not b'moado. Only things that are efshar beforehand, they're included in the mitzvah b'moado. And that's why the Mishnah concludes, klalam Rabbi Akiva, this is the general rule that Rabbi Akiva is teaching us over here. Kol melacha she'efshar la'asosim erev Shabbos. If it's some type of a melacha that could be done, it's efshar to be done before Shabbos, so then you must do it before Shabbos. Then, if you left it, ein l'dochas Shabbos, you can't do it on Shabbos. But the shechita, you can't do the shechita except on your dalet in the afternoon. Shechita, she'yev shalat sos b'yev Shabbos. You can do it all you want on your gimel. It's not going to work. So therefore, the shechita, which must be done on your dalet. So if your dalet in the afternoon is Shabbos, the shechita is not able to be done at any other time. She'yev shalat sos b'yev Shabbos, doches Shabbos. You are allowed to do it on Shabbos. This concludes the Mishnah, and it's a good break point for us to stop today's shiur.